About a year and a half ago, we went through this process of determining what's God calling us to? What's the vision of which He's shaping us to? I want to read that to us because that's pretty small print. It's on the wall over there. It's on our website. Invite you to go on Facebook on the North Star Church page, to go on our website, sign up for our newsletter. Those are three great ways to stay connected. You got your bulletin seeing what's happening. So there's a bunch of ways to see ways to connect in community. But our vision, we sat around tables, we processed, we prayed. Here's where God led us. This is who we seek to be as a church. Our vision, we seek to follow Jesus as a unified, Spirit-filled body of believers, passionate about sharing God's love while living on our faith. We disciple and equip each other for ministry using the Bible as our foundation. We invest our God-given gifts, talents, time, and resources to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, anticipating a spiritual transformation in Quesnel, the Caribou, and the world. I don't know if you can see, this is a picture of the board out in the foyer. It's got a whole bunch of signatures on it. So we said, hey, these aren't just words. We're going to live this, and we're going to keep praying into it. And there was this one point in trying to form it where we were just stuck, and then we prayed, and then right after that, this woman in our midst had this inspiration. She just said, well, what about this? And then it just unfolded. It was one sign of many that God was leading us in this direction. And it's summed up in this following Jesus, equipping each other, sharing the gospel. And what are we doing? We're anticipating spiritual transformation in Quesnel, in this town, in this region, the Caribou, and in the world. Wow, these are big things. So, what's God calling you to? That's a question I want us to hold on to and take with us later, after the service. I want to invite you to ask at least one person this question. What's God calling you to? We're going to get into calling. What's that look like? I think just a little bit of a sense of an overview of calling in the Bible, because there's a few different things of what's intended. We're looking at some pictures of what this calling might look like. The people that will be impacted, our town, our church. So here you are, there's that outline. What's God calling you to? So calling in the Bible. I was processing this, going, well, we use calling so many different ways. What do the scriptures bring forward? Well, what does calling mean? Called to bear witness to the message of Jesus. There's more in this individual story that we're going to look at. And your scripture references there, you can write them down if you want to look further. So called to bear witness to the message of Jesus. This is part of what it means to be called. Called to a work, so a specific job or a career. Called to a particular place. Called to belong in relationship with God Himself. So it's not just task, it's a relationship with God where we find true belonging, relationship. It's not just this thing you do, it's a relationship. Called to serve God. Called to be human and create flourishing. That's part of the general call is to, God said to Adam and Eve, we read in that opening chapter of the scriptures, hey, you're called to multiply, you're called to represent me. This is what it means to be human, to go oversee things as if I was doing it. You're here to implement flourishing. And we read in stories following of brokenness that ensues, and this is part of what we carry, is a broken world and broken lives called sin. Lives not quite on the mark, off the mark, But God has done something to redeem that. We're going to talk about that. So what's God calling me to this year? You see on this slide here, here are opportunities to join in what God's calling us to. Life groups, women's ministry, men's ministry, 55 plus ministry, freedom session, front lines, worship, youth, children's ministry, young adults, and more. God may be calling you to your kids' hockey team. He may be calling you to serve as mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, to your family here and abroad. Well, actually, if he's given you that role, he is calling you to that. That's part of your call. He may be calling you to serve the people on your street, on your Saturdays, any chance you can. Part of what we know in calling, and part of the, I realized after that it wasn't on that list of calling, but the whole piece of church, what it means to be church, this Greek word ecclesia, is it's all about being called out of a life of sin and selfishness, living as if God didn't exist, as if we are God or someone else is, and called into gathering as the body of Christ, the family of Christ. The word church means to gather. So if you're the church, if you believe that God is Lord, that there is a God, and he's revealed himself most clearly in human flesh as Jesus, then you're the church. And it means that we got to do this. We got to gather. That's part of what it means. Because if you're just living on your own, just doing your own thing, there aren't any such thing as Lone Ranger Christians. Just doing your own, watching it on TV. You can learn on TV, but ultimately we're a body. And the church is missing something if you're not here. So well done in being here, starting off the fall right. There's so much to celebrate from this past year and thinking about what God's calling us to in the year ahead. This Ministry Freedom Session is a newer ministry to us. We're starting year two. The founder of the ministry really got my attention when I went for training in the Lower Mainland. He said, in our following of Jesus as disciples, what we don't realize is that all throughout the story, there's healings. We don't realize that healing is a part of following Jesus. And in a society where we have so many medical advances, but we have so much hurting emotionally and spiritually, some of the greatest healing to take place in our lives is actually spiritual, emotional healing. And it's impossible to grow spiritually if you can't grow emotionally. And there's things that we get stuck on. So there's going to be a Freedom Session clipboard, a journey. You basically watch. You get an hour of teaching, and then you break up into same-gender small groups, and you get real in a hurry. And that's what I hope is this invitation into smaller groups of community, is that invitation to be known, to get real, and that's where we're really going to grow. So we're going to play a video, a little bit about what Freedom Session looks like. So let's play that. So there's a little bit more about what Freedom Session is. For me personally, it was such a gift to go through the ministry. It's not this ministry for someone else or those people. It's an invitation to Christ and getting your life more and more holy like his. I hope that's the kind of church we're becoming. There's a story about a young guy from BC who had an anger problem. We're going to open up the scriptures to Acts 9, as has been read to you. Another guy, young guy with an anger issue. Chapter 9, this guy named Saul. So you're going through this book of Acts, and God is doing these amazing things. Healings are taking place. There is these encounters with God that are profound in the coming of the Holy Spirit. Acts 9, meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. He went to the high priest of the Jewish council. He requested letters addressed to the local Jewish synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of Christians. Wherever he'd go, he'd try and arrest them. He wanted to bring them back to Jerusalem in chains. So he was looking to kill Christians, and he was looking to imprison Christians. He was looking to stop this movement. He saw, this is a destructive force in my society. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Can you imagine what that would have been like? Have you had one of those profound experiences? Here's what happened for Saul. He asked this question, "Who are you, Lord?" And the voice replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting." Interesting. You persecute his people, God takes it personally. He sees it as if you're persecuting himself. It's how closely he loves us, like a father or mother with a child. Interesting. Jesus says, "Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." The people around were speechless. They heard the sound of someone's voice, but saw no one. It's interesting how you can have a profound experience with God, and sometimes others don't encounter the same thing, even within close proximity. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus, and he remained there blind for 3 days, and he didn't eat or drink. Before we go any further, it's interesting how in the society where we go, well, how do we know who God is? The scriptures are this kind of incredible preserving of history, and it's a history where God reveals himself. And these experiences have taken place not just in the first century, not just in the centuries before that, but ongoing. It's why the church continues. It's not just a ritual. It's people who've encountered the living God, and he said, "I am Jesus. I'm a personal God." Sometimes we don't like that, because with a personal God comes personal accountability, comes personal requests. If God is just out there, we can make him to be whoever we want him to be. And therefore, what's good for you is good for you, and what's good for me is good for me. Sounds a lot like how we talk in our land. It's because we don't know how to sort through these things. And a lot of us and those around us haven't had these experiences where we've come and we've encountered God, and he said, "I am Jesus." I know a lot of people, and in my own life, who've dealt in spiritual warfare. And we're talking evil. We're talking demons. And there is no name that carries power. There's nothing like praying in the name of Jesus. It holds power over the dominion of Satan. There is no name like Jesus' name. God has revealed himself in Jesus most clearly. We see in the scriptures and in the person of Jesus that God is a God who loves us. He pursues us. And I think you're here because you're drawn here. Whether you've been drawn here for 50 years or 50 minutes, God's pursuing you. We see that throughout history. I see that in my own life. Many of you see that. God's pursuing you to have a relationship with you. And not just that, to set you free from sin. Or set you free from the law, trying to live a perfect life. There's this incredible thing that we are saved by this grace and love of God, most clearly displayed when God died a gruesome death on our behalf to pay for everything that's wrong in your heart and everything that's wrong in your life, in the way you've treated God or the way you've treated others, the way you've treated his world, the way you've even treated yourself, someone who he deeply loves and cherishes. He's gone to the cross for all of it. And this is why we form Christian community. This is why we gather on Sundays, the day that he rose from the dead, to have that grow in our lives. I am Jesus, he said. And what did he say? He said, get up and go, and you will be told what you must do. This is much of the Christian life. You don't always know what's coming ahead, right? But it's to be preceded with faith. It's also very, I think it's very important to recognize that what happened to Saul? He was struck with what? With blindness, right? He didn't grow a third arm. He didn't get shrunk into like miniature size. He didn't have like a leg get taken out. Like God could have done anything. But throughout the scriptures, we get a clue of how to read this, because over and over again, it's talked about the people as being blind. It's an indicator of spiritual blindness. A veil, it says in this very story, was over him. And that's true of sin. There's this veil where we can't see God. That's part of my story, was that I was in the seats growing up of church, and church season, and other times there was baseball season, and there was a lot of living for me. But there came this point where I got asked, what's your story? So I ask you, what's your story when it comes to a relationship with God? I said, I've ran in those circles, but I don't have one. And that convicted me, and I invited God into my heart, and the veil dropped, and all of a sudden, this book wasn't just a historical book. I could meet with God himself. And this is a huge way in where he meets with us. He draws us to himself through these scriptures. He draws us to himself because he gives us his Holy Spirit then, and he can speak directly into our lives so we can know what he's calling us to. He gives all sorts of things. He gives visions. Here's this guy, second person in the story, Ananias. And he, when God calls to Ananias, and I love what he says. He says, yes, Lord. When God calls in your life, is that your response? Is it, yes, Lord, I'm in. Another way to say amen is like this, yes. That's what we're saying every time we say amen. Yes. Or when, so he says, yes, Lord. And God says, okay, here's what you're going to do. Go. There's an ongoing theme in the Christian life. Go. Go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He's praying to me right now. Interesting that Saul spent his time waiting on God, what, not playing Xbox, not doing home repairs, not getting distracted on the internet, given that'd be pretty tough to do at that time, or blind, right? Maybe that was another way, another reason that God made him blind, so he couldn't get distracted with other things. How easy is it for us when we're waiting on God to do something not to pray, not to fast, but to get distracted? Saul models a life of, when I've had this call, this questioning, this challenge, this encounter with God, to turn to him. So he's turning to him, and God gives him a vision. And it says, he's praying to me right now. God says to this Christian down the road, I've shown him a vision of a man. You're it, Ananias. You're going to come in and you're going to lay hands on him so he can see again. Now, do you say yes, Lord, or do you say but, Lord? How often do we do that when God says, this is what you're to do? But God, that's too hard. But Lord, I can't do that. This summer, as we talk about summer camp, as we look at all that God's done, I had a real aha moment when I was serving at soccer camp, because it had just been a very full year. I'd had some time away, and then I was back. And in those 8 days, I had two sermons to come up with, and like five devotionals to the team, and I was going, but Lord, that's too much. I can't. And it was interesting. I talked to Heather. Heather, where are you? Hand up. Okay, you're over there. And it reminded me of Heather's story. As she got up, she was one of the people who responded going, oh, okay, Lord. And she shared this profound piece of her relationship with God going, God, there was some but Lords, wasn't there? There sure was. But then you ended up saying yes, Lord, right? And what was the image he gave you? Writing a blank check. How dangerous is it to write a blank check and give it to someone with your signature? That's an interesting coming back to those of you with signatures on our vision. There is that sense, I will invest my God-given gifts, talents, time, and resources. You signed that blank check already. Or have you taken it back? Or are we going this way? God, what are you calling me to? And it was just like, oh, I'm going through it in my life, but Lord, Heather she's stepping forward, but she went through her but Lord. And then we had another testimony here after, and another wise gentleman in the church who's been here for many years, and he said he went through his but Lords, and I went, oh, we're all doing this, aren't we? Okay, hands up. Like, how many of you are saying, God, I can't do that? But Lord, I got, like, hands up, right? It's not just my hand, right? Yeah. And I guess that's what happens when we try to think that we can achieve God-sized outcomes through our own lives. We can't. It has to be God showing up. Ananias has got this great, but Lord, I've heard about this guy. He kills people like me. I'm not going over there. But what does he do? He trusts and obeys. He goes. God said again, go. Are you getting this theme? Go. Get up. Go. And this is, to me, a key line in the whole thing. Go, for you are my chosen instrument to take my message to others. But Lord, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as the people of Israel. And we see that God used his life profoundly. But we also see through the scriptures that that's part of what calling means. If you've had an encounter with the living God who's revealed himself as Jesus Christ, your job is to bring the message forward to those who need to hear it. That's part of what it means to be called. And we all have our different ways of doing it. He's gifted us differently, but still the message is to go forward. Go, for fill in your name in that blank. I really hope you see this as personal. And it's that you are called, you are his chosen instrument to take his message to a place where no one else brings it. You are chosen as you are called to him. And I love this line, may it be true of us. So Ananias went. As you're called, go. May it be told of your story. May, as we look back, I went. So Travis went. So Giselle went. So Dave went. So Wendy went. And here's what happened. He laid hands and there was this God encounter. Brother Saul, he said, you can picture it. The Lord Jesus who's appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. And then he got up and was baptized. We saw baptism pictures from this past year. So much to celebrate. I'm in with Jesus. That's what baptism says. And we're going to invite those of you who have not been baptized to join in baptism. There's no such thing as a Christian who's not been baptized in the New Testament. And all we see in what we see of the records is nobody waited longer than 3 days in the New Testament. There's place to speed up the process if we haven't done it. If you're scared of going, like being up front, even though it's a great display to Christ, like we got to get her done, whatever it takes. Get her done. Go get baptized. So, what's God calling you to? The story in Acts keeps going. I'm just going to tell you a few highlights from the rest of the chapter. So Paul, he gets her done. He gets baptized. What's he begin doing? He begins preaching. All of us preach, either through words or through deeds. And he says, indeed, the Son, Jesus is the Son of God. And they're like, wait a second, what's happened to this guy? Wasn't he the one killing Christians? Nobody can stop God's movement. Nobody can. So don't think that you not responding, that you can stop God's movement. But get in. Don't miss out. For Saul, there's a scary line. As he gets called, God says, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. I had a great conversation with someone in this church on my driveway this week of just going, I thought serving God had to be hard. I didn't know it could be enjoyable. I didn't know it could be fun. That's so true. And so is that there's a cost. Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Saul, his name changed to Paul. He got a whole new life. He got to live life to the fullest because he was living it on the edge for Christ. There's an aspect where you can't just settle for the status quo. We got to get radical as Christians. I hope it not be said for you this year, for this church this year, that we settled for the usual way of doing things. God again and again calls us to give up our life, take up our cross, get radical and follow him. And when you give up your life, what happens? You'll find it in a whole new way. Jesus said, you want life to the fullest? I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you keep trying to find it in some other way, that's not where life to the fullest is. That's not how we're made. We're meant to be walking through life hand in hand. And this story and next week's story is all about journey with Jesus, these encounters of people who've journeyed with Jesus. And we invite you here to journey with Jesus this year. Many of us have all kinds of challenges. Oh, I'm a mom. Oh, I got these places I got to see. I got family out of town. I got this profession that pulls me out of here. The hard thing is, if you're rarely ever seen, it's hard to contribute. My invitation is to find a way to get connected here in a way where you give what you can. Get up and go. Build community here, because this is part of the means of which he is going to bring his message forward. How powerful is it when we're all walking hand in hand saying, this is what God has done? Too often we just try and do it ourselves. We are a powerful witness together. My vision for this church this year and years coming is that we as Christians take coming to God seriously in prayer, in reading the scriptures, that we have these Ananias moments, that we have these moments for Saul where powerful prayer is answered. And he gets used in powerful ways, and Peter gets used in powerful ways from being with Jesus. He brings paralyzed people who've been paralyzed for 8 years, bedridden, and he gets to come with the power of Jesus Christ to say, get up, get going. Some of us are paralyzed here. And part of the means through it is to come to God in prayer. Part of the means through it is get involved in Freedom Session. This is a means where you get healed, where God brings healing through authentic Christian community. Part of the means through it is life groups. Part of the means is serving. If you've been paralyzed, God wants you to get up and get moving. He wants to send people your way to bring you through that. We know there are different seasons, different costs. Our Lord has powerfully showed us what love is through bearing the cross. Some of us, we're in places in life where we can't really bring much. As you sacrifice with what little you have, it's powerful. I see some of you, I know you have major health problems, like major. I see you walk in the doors. It just preaches to me. It preaches to me. I know some of us are dying with terminal diseases, and you're showing up here whenever you have what little strength, and you're preaching to us. The call. There's a cost. There's a cost to following. There's a cost to raising up the next generation. It's practical. It's prep time. It's sharing this time to go serve downstairs. Let's take that cost seriously, but let's take the cost of not answering the call at just as seriously. I don't want to miss out on everything that God is calling me to this year. He's called us to bear witness to Him. Oh, these are great truths. Romans 8:28. Write that one down for later. Following in Jesus involves action. Following implies movement. So what's God calling you to? Get up and go to that. Go pursue that after the service. Let's respond to Him, seeking Him for what He's calling us to in the year ahead. God, You are an awesome, big God. We cannot stop Your movement in this town, in our homes. We cannot stop Your movement through this world. But You call us. You call to us. You know what each of us needs to come to You with here, whether it's the next semester, or looking for work, or how to sort through the various different obligations of work and home life, or retired life, where there's so many different options. Lord, we want to take You seriously, prioritize You first and foremost. We want it to be said that, like the first century, that the church lived in fear of God, respecting You first and foremost, and the church was encouraged, and it grew, and the news spread. May that be true of this town. Lord, I pray that You hear the hearts of those in this room, of those who are listening to this message, catching it later. Hear hearts, God, we come before You. God, may it be true of us that we got up and we goed. May it be true of us that we went this year, that despite blindness, we turned to You in prayer. Despite a lack of courage, we turned to You, we trusted, we obeyed. May we have tales to tell amongst this church, to our kids, to our grandkids, of all that You've done as we trusted and obeyed. Thank You. It's amazing that You call each of us to Yourself, to a task, and You've called us for such a time as now to this place, to this church, to this town. God, make it clear, make it clear, make it clear, we pray. And we are stepping forward in faith, knowing You call us to community, call us to serve, because we've been set free by You. We come to You today. Thank You, Jesus, for all that You've done. With awe and this fear of the Lord, this great respect, we come before You, Jesus. Amen. So we have, we're going to re-sing that song we sang earlier of Called Me Higher. He has called you higher, called you deeper than maybe we were coming in comprehending. Some of us, the clipboard team, you got assignments to go to out back. The rest of us, we're going to stand and sing, and I'll give you a final word, and then we'll pray for lunch. So let's stand for one final song. Let's bring it before the Lord. What are you calling me to?